Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to another edition of WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. Happy Thursday, October 1, 2017. That's right, October 12th. We're already reaching the midway point of the month. Hard to believe, right? Time is absolutely flying. Well, today's Current Sports, we've got a jam-packed hour of sports talk coming right at your ear as we will recap Michigan State Men's Basketball Media Day, which took place yesterday afternoon at the newly renovated Breslin Center. I tell you what, folks, for those that have not seen the Breslin since last basketball year, you are in for a treat because the new renovation is beautiful. Gilbert Pavilion is fantastic. I mean, windows, it's like glass everywhere. You can see right into it, and it commemorates Michigan State men's basketball history and celebrates, of course, the future as well. It's fantastic. I was pretty giddy as engineer Isaac Constance and myself, we walked in the building during the Tom Izzo press conference. So we'll talk about MSU men's basketball plenty today on Current Sports, and you'll get to hear from the players as well as head coach Tom Izzo on the very lofty expectations surrounding this year's team. You don't want to miss that. We will also talk briefly about the Detroit Pistons as they just have now one more preseason basketball game left to play as they will hit the road to take on the Milwaukee Bucks tomorrow. But what can we draw from what we've seen so far throughout preseason? And we'll have Throwback Thursday for you, and we'll also talk some MSU football as Mark D'Antonio has decided to send a review of hits to the Big Ten from Saturday night's game against the Michigan Wolverines. We'll have more on that actually right now as we hit you with our Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. And we start with that news concerning Mark D'Antonio and the Michigan State football team, as Michigan State football coach Mark D'Antonio announced this past weekend that he plans to send a couple of plays to the Big Ten office from Saturday's 14-10 win over the Michigan Wolverines, in which he believed a couple plays were targeting and they went uncalled. Now, one play that drew attention over the weekend was a hit by Michigan sophomore linebacker Devin Bush Jr., who was seen on film finishing a tackle on quarterback Brian Lewerke with his head, leading with his helmet, hitting Lewerke right in his helmet. No targeting foul was called on the play. curious to see what comes of that Big Ten review. P.J. Fleck, former Western Michigan University head football coach, now, of course, head coach of the Minnesota Golden Gophers in the Big Ten. Minnesota gets ready to host the Michigan State football team this weekend, Saturday night at 8 p.m. P.J. Fleck was asked earlier this week during his press conference if he was surprised that Michigan State pulled off the upset over Michigan. Fleck said he was not. In fact, he says that he'd been more surprised if the result was flipped. Quote, I think they beat them 8 of the last 10 times, so I don't think you can be surprised at all. I think it would be almost the other way. If Michigan beats Michigan State, you should be surprised in these times. But that was a big win for the Spartans, end quote. Fleck did not square off against the Wolverines during his four-year run as head coach at Western. On Tuesday, the doors of the Polynesian Football Hall of Fame open for former Michigan State football great Bob Apiza. How cool is this story? Apiza, honored in the coach contributor category of this particular Hall of Fame, he joins former NFL players Herman Clark, Maike Keyamatu, Manu Tuasapo, and Kimo Van Olehefoen in the 2017 class. Those are some names, right? The 72-year-old was inducted into the MSU Athletics Hall of Fame on September 28th. 3 days later, his grandson, Jacob Asiaya, an offensive lineman from Las Vegas Bishop Gorman, he picked the Spartans to continue his football career. Apiza's enshrinement will be held at the Polynesian Bowl, a high school all-star game in Honolulu, from January 19th to the 20th. Very cool stuff for Mr. Bob Apiza. All right, the MSU softball team will take on the Michigan Wolverines today at 6 p.m. in Ann Arbor. I'm going to pass along this news, though. Very cool news, as the National Fast Pitch Coaches Association has announced its All-America Scholar Athlete Honors for the 2016-17 academic year, which includes six Spartan student athletes. Now, for the Spartans, 2017 graduate Sarah Gutnick, current seniors Leah Forster, Bridget Rainey, and Christina Zalawuski, and juniors Caitlin Evelyn and Kelly Zacherson made the list of honorees. Nominees had to be of at least sophomore standing, earning a 3.5 grade point average or higher. Very cool stuff there. All right, Dan Orlovsky's NFL career is over. The former Detroit Lions QB, who played from 05 to 2016 with four NFL teams, has announced via a story he wrote on SportsSpectrum.com that he's stepping away from the game of football. Orlovsky, who's 34 years old, he most recently served as Matthew Stafford's backup quarterback in Detroit from 2014 to 2016. He was at L.A. Rams training camp this offseason, but was released before the regular season began in September. All right, you can catch the 2-1-0 Detroit Red Wings playing on the road at Arizona against the Coyotes, who sit at 0-2-1, tonight, 10 p.m., you can watch that matchup on Fox Sports Detroit. This is the middle game of a three-game Western road trip for the Wings. They opened up the trip with a 4-2 defeat to Dallas. Tobias Reeder, he leads Arizona with two goals. Like the Coyotes have lost five to four, to Anaheim, 2-1 in OT to Vegas, and 5-2 to Vegas on Tuesday. Danny DeKeyser is day-to-day after leaving Tuesday's contest following a block shot. Nicholas Cronwall could make his season debut. All right, the New York Knicks have signed former lottery pick and former University of Michigan point guard Trey Burke on Wednesday. Burke, the number 9 pick in the 2013 NBA draft, he averaged 5 points and 1.8 assists in 12 minutes per game last season with the Washington Wizards. Burke was originally drafted by the Minnesota Timberwolves, but traded on draft night to the Utah Jazz. He finished third in the NBA Rookie of the Year voting in 2013-14, but fell out of the starting lineup in 2015-16 and was traded to the Wizards in the 2016 offseason. And how about this news coming out of the MLB playoffs? The Cleveland Indians were eliminated from World Series contention last night when the wild card New York Yankees topped them 5-2 in a winner-take-all Game 5 of the American League Division Series at Progressive Field. It is the second time in less than a year that the Indians have been eliminated from the postseason on their home turf. The Indians won the first two games of the ALDS before losing three straight. A total collapse. It is the first time they've lost three straight since July 30th through August 1st. The Indians had no answer for CC Sabathia through the first four innings. He retired six straight and 12 of 13 batters. Eight of those outs came on K's. The Indians under manager Terry Francona are 2-8 in postseason games when they have a chance to clinch. In the last 2 years, they've lost six straight games in which they've had a chance to clinch. So, there goes my World Series pick. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. Again, as always, you can join us via the Facebook.com/current sports live stream and weigh in that way. Leave a comment under the live stream itself. I'll do my best to read your comments live here on the air. You can also join us via Twitter at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR underscore sports. Let's start the show.
Been unranked and looked like nobody cared about you, and we've been ranked one in the country and had pressure on us. I much more like the pressure, you know, because that's better for the program, it's better for the players, it means that we're legitimate contenders for something.
How we start this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I am your host, Al Martin. A bit gloomy outside here in mid-Michigan. Cold, brisk, cloudy. Fall is here. Fall is here. And I got to be honest with you, I love fall, though. Especially for fall fashion. I think fall fashion is the best fashion throughout the 365 days of the year, all right? But it's getting colder outside. Hope you guys are buttoning up and not getting sick. Knock on wood, right? Well, I tell you what, we've got a great show. And I want to start by talking about Michigan State Men's Basketball Media Day. It was a fun day, as it usually is, at the Breslin Center. The unofficial start to the Michigan State Men's Basketball year for us media members. As Tom Izzo addressed the media in about an hour-long press conference that began yesterday at 1:45, so actually during Current Sports. So Isaac and I did our best to jet out of here right at 2 p.m. and head down to the Brez to catch a bit of what Coach Izzo had to say concerning his 2017 team. And as he did, of course, he does this every year where he goes, you know, name by name on the roster and talks about the strengths and the weaknesses of that particular player. And after that, he kind of opens it up to questions for the respective media members who are in his house. And he wraps things up. And then us media members are allowed to go on the Breslin Center court floor as players are spread out around the baseline. And you get a chance to really pick the brains of really every player on the roster. It's a very cool event. And, you know, I absolutely have to give major props to Tom Izzo because, you know, he's so open when it comes to his program. You know, he encourages his student athletes to talk to the media because that's a life skill. I mean, being able to articulate yourself in the real world is an essential life tool. And Coach Izzo knows that, and he wants his players to be well-spoken. So it was great. We talked to a slew of players yesterday, and in just a moment, we're going to get to a few of those interviews. I know many of you want to hear from, of course, the biggest name on this roster, that being Miles Bridges, his return sending shockwaves not only throughout this campus, but throughout the college basketball world. Many thought that Miles Bridges would take his talents to the NBA after just one season under the helm of head coach Tom Izzo. Would have been a lottery pick, in my view. He decides to stay. He makes that announcement right in front of the Spartan statue on the campus of Michigan State University, and everybody here on campus absolutely loses their mind. And, you know, you look at some pieces, some new pieces for this team that Tom now has to sort of integrate into the roster and I believe can make an immediate impact right off rip. You talk about Michigan Mr. Basketball runner-up. Of course, Isaiah Livers won Mr. Basketball last year, but Xavier Tillman comes in and he looks in shape. He's been pushed all summer by Nick Ward, other MSU big man. He looks great. I think that Xavier has a lot of potential coming in into his first year. Also, Jaren Jackson Jr., who is just, he's tall, folks, lengthy. He's a stretch forward. He can hit the jump shot. He can take you in the post. He's going to be fun to watch this year. But then you also get the sophomore maturity of not only Miles Bridges, but also players like Cassius Winston, Josh Langford, and, as I mentioned, Nick Ward. A lot of preseason polls predict Michigan State men's basketball to go, well, at least I should say when it comes to rankings, they're already predicting Michigan State to hold down the number one ranking to start the year. And you look at this team from top to bottom, and it's absolutely stacked. Absolutely stacked. And even more so than that, you know, the reason why it's stacked is because this team is healthy. You know, last year we saw throughout many times, I should say even much of the year, we saw Miles Bridges and a player like Kenny Goins holding down the Michigan State front court. Right? I mean, just think about that. I mean, it was those two, because Nick Ward, I mean, he would start the game as, you know, as a starter and then all of a sudden get into foul trouble and have to head to the bench. Then you would have to bring in Kenny Goins and Miles Bridges. That was your front court throughout many games last year. But now this team is healthy. You know, knock on wood, but this team now has a healthy Gavin Schilling. This team, you know, is very fortunate to get back a transfer from UNLV and Ben Carter, who was also injured before the season got underway last year. He looks healthy. And now you add that in combination with Ward, in combination with Xavier Tillman, in combination with Jaren Jackson Jr. Michigan State may have too much size. I mean, how are you going to divvy up those minutes? That's a good problem to have, because they certainly lacked that last year. So I want to get to a few interviews now. I want to start with, of course, Miles Bridges. Miles Bridges is the name for this year's Michigan State men's basketball team. Heck, he was the name for last year's Michigan State men's basketball year. And you talk about preseason rankings and preseason predictions, right? Well, Miles Bridges is predicted by many media outlets to be the National Player of the Year, or a very heavy candidate for National Player of the Year. Many believe he's a threat to average around 20 points per game. He averaged 16.9 points per game as a freshman last year. The only other freshman to average more than that in Michigan State men's basketball history, well, I think you know this name, Irvin Magic Johnson. That puts in perspective just how good Miles Bridges is. So what's it like being Miles Bridges on the campus of Michigan State University? What's it like dealing with that expectation? What's it like dealing with the pressure and the hoopla surrounding this program and you being the guy? Here's Miles Bridges addressing a little bit of that.
My main focus is just to get better every day. Like I said, I don't like to pay attention to pressure. because if I do, then I'm going to start playing bad. So I just focus on winning. I mean, that's what Coach really wanted me to focus on this year. He wanted me to focus on just being able to defend guards, quick guards at that, like Josh Langford and Tom Nairn, even crafty guards like Cassius Winston. He wants me to be able to guard 1 through 5. He doesn't give us the big head. He goes at us every practice. He just wants to make us better every day. And that's what makes him a Hall of Fame coach. I mean, he never changes up, even if you have a good team, an average team, a bad team. That's why he has so many Final Fours. We're healthy this year, so we're able to do more in practice, such as war, a lot of more physical drills. So he's driving us harder. We have more bodies, and it's good for us. It's way more physical, a lot more running. And that's something last year that took a toll on us. We weren't as physical. We weren't getting as many rebounds as we should have been. So this year he's changing it up to that. I mean, if I switch off into a big, I'll be able to guard him because I know how to guard him now. That's why I said I've been working on my all-around game. It's just a blessing for me, man. But like I said, I don't like to pay attention to that type of stuff because it's going to affect the way I play, and I don't want to have the big head. I want to stay humble. Because I haven't did nothing here as a team. I mean, we made it to the second round, but I feel like our potential is way more farther than that. For a month, I went on a no-sugar diet with Josh and Tom, and I was in the gym every day just working on my cardio, just eating the right things.
What was the toughest thing you had to stop eating?
Hot Cheetos.
Miles, how are you guys embracing the pressure of being ranked number one in a lot of preseason polls? You guys like that?
I mean, yeah, we like the pressure. We just don't pay attention to it because we haven't even had a chance to go out there and showcase our skills. But we're not focused on that. You could be ranked number one all you want, but it's not going to mean nothing if you don't win a national championship. Yeah, like if somebody came in the locker room talking about, yeah, we're ranked number one, we're doing this, we're doing that. Like me or Tom will step in and be like, just don't worry about that. Just focus on winning one game at a time, because that's what happened. I think Denzel's senior year, Tom said that they will always say Natty at the end, 1, 2, 3, Natty. And he said they were just focused on winning a national championship, but they didn't take it one game at a time.
Miles, is campus different at all? Walking around campus, coming back for your sophomore campaign, how often do you get students coming up to you and saying thank you for coming back?
Yeah, it's way more often than last year. But that just shows how much this program means to me, how much I mean to the program. It's a great feeling. It's overwhelming for me. Tom, he's been a role model in my life, and this is senior year, and I would like to send him out right. So I'm going to be playing to my best abilities to send him out right, send the other seniors out right, and to play for my other teammates too.
You know, I absolutely love the relationship that Miles Bridges has with senior guard and captain Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Nearing Jr. I mean, even seeing it throughout this summer at the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am, those two are always together. Miles looks at Tum as a big brother, and they just have this really close bond, and you could see it, you know, yesterday as well as those two took pictures with one another, as they usually do on Media Day. It's also like Pitcher Day. They have one there, their new unis, which, by the way, on the new uniforms for Michigan State men's basketball, they will honor the late head men's basketball coach Judd Heathcote with a black patch right near like the sleeve. Well, whether sleeveless, right? But right, I should say right up near like the chest area. It just will say Judd in white lettering with a black background, honoring Judd Heathcote. But going back to that relationship, you know, Bridges and Tom, they're very close. And when and Isaac, you can attest to this, when we were there talking with Miles Bridges, and this is something we've constantly brought up when discussing Miles. Miles Bridges is what his time is, I'll call it, a blue-collar star, superstar. Mm-hmm. The way he's dealt with all of the attention, it reminds me a lot of head coach Tom Izzo. You know, anytime I see Coach Izzo, you know, he's always, especially when it comes to the fans, he's always trying to take pictures, trying to sign every autograph that's in front of him. And, you know, I was talking with Matt Larson, Michigan State men's basketball SID, yesterday. And, you know, MSU Madness will take place next week, Friday night. And, you know, he said, man, it's always something trying to pull Izzo away from the crowd because they sign autographs leading up to the event. and Matt hates having to pull Izzo away from the crowd because yep. he always wants to make sure that he's signed every autograph, taken every picture, and pulling him away, it's like pulling teeth, right? And Miles is the same way. I think that Miles has learned how to deal with being a big name, a household name here in the community, you know, as a big-time basketball player. He's learned how to deal with that attention because he's seen his head coach, Tom Izzo, do it time and time again. But you know, Miles is so humble. And now when discussing the X's and O's of this team, Michigan State doesn't need for him to be the big man on the squad now. He doesn't have to play center. He was playing center at times last year, right, due to injuries for this squad. Miles can play his true position as the three, that mm-hmm. stretch forward threat. Now we can really see him blossom, and I think he's only going to get better going into his sophomore year.
Well, if you want to talk about staying humble and staying hardworking, Tum Tum Nairn, as you mentioned, the relationship that those two have, could there be a better mentor for Miles Bridges to have? Yeah, the playing styles are different, but at the same time, I saw that Miles got tatted up this summer a little bit too. He's got that new tattoo on his back. It's his Flint. You know, I mean, what's not to love about this kid? He's homegrown, he's hardworking, he's dedicated, and all the while, he's working to get better. He's going to be a top three or top five pick in this year's draft, most likely. Mm-hmm. And again, all the while, he wants to come back to the school. He's not making any excuses or any sort of misconceptions about what he's here for. Yeah, he wants to go to the NBA eventually, but that does not diminish his love for this school and just as much this program as he currently has. I mean, between Tum Tum Nairn, Josh Lankford, mm-hmm. Nick Ward, I mean, this is a group of guys who all together really just stay so grounded and away from all of the mania that surrounds them as the top team in the nation right now.
Yeah, that's very true. And you know what I love that Tom Izzo is doing in practice now, as you just heard, you know, Miles got a lot of experience guarding big men last season because he had to play that role. What Tom is doing now is he's matching Miles Bridges up against guards, small guards like Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Nairn Jr., like Cassius Winston, like Josh Lankford, so that Miles just has an overall defensive repertoire where it doesn't matter what position the opposition is coming from, he is comfortable with defending that player. I absolutely love that, and I expect Miles to also improve defensively. Now, speaking of Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Nairn Jr., he is the leader of this team. And starting off this snippet, this interview with Tom, you know, he first addresses this being his senior year, this being his final season on the hardwood with Coach Izzo and this squad, and what he will miss the most when it's all said and done.
The biggest thing I'm going to miss about Michigan State is just the family. Like, I love coming in every day working with my teammates. I love being around my coaches. I just love it here, man. It's just, I can't even explain it the way it makes me feel, because it's just a unique situation, and I would never, ever forget the experience this year. Man, it means everything to me because so many great players have came through here, man, and it's something I do not take for granted, and it's just a blessing, and it makes me humble just to be in a position where I'm, you know, when I leave here, I tell my kids one day, I tell people back home that I was a three-year captain at Michigan State, one of the, you know, the best college basketball programs, in my eyes, the best college basketball program. So it's just really humbling. Yeah, it's definitely different, you know, having a lot of expectations for everybody. But you know, you don't want to let it be a burden. You want to let it excite you and just have fun with it, because a lot of times, a lot of people don't get an opportunity to even be in that position. So I think it's exciting for us.
What kind of transformation have you seen from Cassius?
Definitely with his body and on the defensive end, he's more stronger, and he got better offensively too. But he's just becoming a complete all-around player, even better, and you know, one of the best point guards I've ever seen.
What do you guys know about Judd? What was that moment like discussing that with Coach Izzo?
Just that, you know, Judd means everything to Coach Izzo, man. Being around him, you know, he always talked about what he learned from Judd. And you know, when you see videos or pictures of Coach Iz sitting next to him and standing next to him, you'd be like, wow, this is the guy that was over Coach Izzo and, you know, and gave him opportunity and a chance to be a head coach here. And
I think they had a really, really special bond because he was so hard on Coach Iz. And I think he helped him out a lot, and Coach had a great appreciation for him.
Again, senior guard and captain Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Nearing Jr., addressing, you know, his final year as a player for the Michigan State men's basketball team, addressing the expectations coming into the high expectations, I should say, coming into this 2017 men's basketball year. Also, you know, this is what makes Lou Rawls Tum Tum Nearing special and what makes him a clear leader. Tum does not care about the stats. In contrast to what many of you may think, Tum could care less. All Lou Rawls Tum Tum Nearing Jr. cares about, he's a special kid, all he cares about is winning. He doesn't care about minutes. He does not care about Cassius Winston nipping at his heels in the starting lineup. He is trying to do what he can, and we saw that this past summer at the Moneyball League Summer Pro-Am. He's going to do what he can to make Cassius Winston a better player because he knows that Cassius right now is the future of this program. Cassius is the better player, and I think Tum will probably admit that, to be honest with you. Cassius has great court vision. He's more of an offensive threat than Lou Rawls Tum Tum Nearing Jr. He's not a better defender than Tum, and I think that's what people forget when, because, you know, I hear this a lot, Isaac, and it kind of irks me when I hear people criticize and down Lou Rawls Tum Tum Nearing Jr. because, and again, he's not the best offensive player. His jump shot has been a struggle throughout his tenure here as a member of the team, but Tum's impact can't be measured just in the stat line, especially defensively. I mean, if Tum plays good defense on a guard the entire game, how you measure Tum's impact is how many points that guard ends up with when the final buzzer sounds. Tum is a great defender, and he's just a lightning bolt coming off the bench for you. And I think he's going to come off the bench for Michigan State this upcoming year. I think Cassius will now make his way into the starting lineup. And I like that senior leadership and that type of energy coming off the bench. But it can't be measured what Tum means to this team. You know, we talked with Nick Ward, and Nick, you know, in the middle of a question being asked about what Tum means to the team, I mean, he kind of cuts the reporter off and says, look, Tum is the glue. He said, quote, Tum is the glue. Tum is the player that everybody on this roster looks to as the leader and looks to for direction as to where this team is heading. That can't be measured in statistics. Tum is the guy rallying the troops. He's the guy in the locker room motivating these players and trying to get them to understand the moment. Draymond Green, this is a story that Tom Izzo talked about during yesterday's press conference. Izzo talked about how Draymond Green, after meeting Lou Rawls Tum Tum Nearing Jr. as a freshman, said, this dude needs to be a captain for this squad. Tom Izzo says, well, when's the last time we had a freshman captain? We never have that. And then Draymond says, well, you do now. Tum is that kind of a personality. And, you know, I think him talking about Cassius, you know, Cassius has hit the weight room now. His body's better. Tum has helped Cassius out with his defense because that was a bugaboo for him last season. The way he talks about Cassius Winston, you can just hear that Tum is going to do what it takes in order to make Cassius a better player and in turn make this team a better team. Also, he also addressed Judd Heathcote. He's very close with Tom Izzo, of course, and just kind of elaborated on what Coach Izzo has told Tum and the rest of the team about what Judd has meant to this program and to Tom personally. So just thoughts on Tum. What are your expectations for Lou Rawls Tum Tum Nearing Jr. coming into his final year, Isaac?
Well, and you and I have gone back and forth on this, but I actually expect Tum Tum Nearing to start the season for MSU at point guard. I think Izzo would like that veteran senior leadership in the starting lineup, at least at the start of the year. Now, that doesn't prevent Cassius Winston from checking in 2.5 minutes into the game. That's something Izzo's famous for, is the early substitution patterns. But nonetheless, I would be surprised if Tum Tum doesn't get the initial nod and then bows out later in the season, maybe as Big Ten play starts, for Cassius Winston to take charge. However, yeah, he provides so much off the court, but let's not downplay him on the court either. As you mentioned, this guy's an elite defender, but not only that, he's a very good rebounder for his size, and when he gets a rebound or a quick offensive or a quick outlet pass, excuse me, he pushes the pace. We all know how important pace is for the Michigan State Spartans heading into this next year with all their athleticism, all their youth. Tum Tum Nairn is faster than anybody on the court. And I say that in a general statement because name me a faster player in college basketball in general. Nobody really matches Tum Tum Nairn on that. And when he can get going, when he can get up in on the person he's defending or get a quick rebound and push the pace, this allows MSU to build up leads, put away games, and allows the Spartans to play their brand of basketball. So Nairn, just in that aspect, is so important. The other thing is he might not show up on a stats sheet, as you were saying, but what he does defensively in terms of switching, Tum Tum Nairn has never appeared small to me. The guy is 5'10", but when's the last time you saw him posted up? Or when's the last time you saw him get his shot
blocked? He's muscular, man.
No, he's not.
He's got a great build.
He is, excuse me. And that's the thing. He plays like a big guy in there. And having the versatility to be able to do that is so crucial for this team, especially as they rotate guards in and out.
What are your thoughts on this year's upcoming MSU men's basketball season? Please call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, you get to hear from Nick Ward, as well as MSU men's basketball freshman Jaren Jackson Jr. and Xavier Tillman, as well as sophomore guard Josh Langford. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We have been talking about the 2017-18 MSU men's basketball year as Media Day took place yesterday afternoon at the Breslin Center. Head coach Tom Izzo, as well as his entire team, were made available to us media members. And you just heard in segment A the voices of Miles Bridges, as well as Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Nairn Jr. And I know we do have a caller on line one, my man Austin. He wants to weigh in on the MSU men's basketball team. If you would like to as well, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We also have some comments coming in from Ben and Luke. I'll get to those comments in just a moment, but I do want to play at least two snippets before we get to our caller, Austin, at least. Here's Nick Ward on Xavier Tillman, the incoming freshman, one of the incoming freshmen for this squad, and how Nick has been trying to push X is what they're calling him. Maybe X is, are they already calling him X-Men at all?
I was about to ask you that same question.
I don't know. I know that they call Ben Carter Gramps. Because he's old.
I didn't know that. Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah, he got his 6 year of eligibility. Ben Carter's nickname is Gramps. I found that out yesterday because I was a guest host on Jack Ebling's show yesterday, and you know we had a chance to interview Coach Izzo. Izzo came in. We were like in the MSU women's basketball buffet room, something like that, and it was pretty cool. You know, as Tom came in, and you know they also had players in before that, and that's when I found out that Ben Carter's nickname is Gramps. So, yeah, they're calling Xavier Tillman X, not X-Men, but I think that's probably a natural nickname that will probably evolve as the year moves along, right?
Yeah, he's just a freshman. He's got time.
He's got time, man. And, you know, I messed up yesterday. I tell you, man, you just some days it's just not your day. But I tell you what, they remind me so much of each other.
This is a great story.
Isn't it a great story? They remind me so much of each other. Nick Ward and Xavier Tillman. So much so that after I got done interviewing Nick Ward, I go over to Xavier Tillman. And I went back and listened to the interview, obviously, Isaac. And I start by saying, X, man, okay, well, tell me about, you know, the year. You know, you're a freshman coming in with these expectations, blah, blah, blah. And then somewhere throughout the interview, like the last 2 minutes of the interview, I start calling Xavier Nick Ward. I'm like, Nick, so what do you think? Nick. And then, you know, I didn't notice it, but you noticed that when I called him Nick, Xavier kind of looked in back of him.
Yeah, he was smirking.
He was smirking a bit, and you know, and he was so polite, and he didn't, you know, he waited till the end. Where I'm like, all right, well, thanks, Nick, for your time. And Xavier's like, oh, thank you, man. And he's like, it's Xavier. And I'm like, what? Oh, my goodness, I've been calling you Nick. How long have I been doing that? So that was a pretty funny moment. But here's Nick Ward anyway on how he's been pushing the young pup, Xavier Tillman. What's it been like kind of pushing him?
I see a lot of me in him.
In what way?
Just, you know, just how we built, you know, just type of work ethic. So I try to push him as hard as I can. You know, I try to push him hard the way I was pushed. You know what I mean? But a lot of my pushing was self-motivation. You know, I have a lot of self-motivation. So I'm trying to get him to have the same thing I had.
What's his response been when you push him?
Sometimes he'll, okay. Or he'll be like, or he'll just take it on. You know what I mean? So it's been a journey.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited about Jaren Jackson Jr. and Xavier Tillman. And you know what really stands out, Isaac, is that they're so charismatic. To be that young, they love talk. It's like they love talking to the media. You know, Xavier, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but Xavier is so mature, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that he is a father. He's already a father. He's got, I believe, a young daughter. I'm not sure the age of his daughter, but I saw his daughter actually. You know, in high school, when I believe X went against Isaiah Livers in East Lansing, in Lansing, Michigan, at Lansing Eastern High School during the playoffs, and his daughter was present there. But they're so mature, and they love talking to the media. So, real briefly, here's a snippet from Jaren. The first voice you're going to hear is Jaren Jackson Jr. and then Xavier Tillman. Here is Jaren Jackson starting off by addressing how vocal he is as a freshman.
Probably in a situation like this or just, like, in general, I'm pretty, like, not, like, laid back, but I'm not, like, I'll speak my mind. I won't, like, hide from anything, and I just, like, have a lot of fun.
What does that mean in a basketball sense?
I, you know, just, like, make sure my teammates are feeling good, encouraging my teammates, just having a good time on the court, talking to them, making sure, you know, their head's on good. Not necessarily like getting on them, but more just encouraging them. There's going to be ups and downs as a freshman, and it hasn't even started yet for me. So the fact that I have them, all of them there back as sophomores is good to help me because they know exactly what I'm going to go through. So if when they're there, they're going to be able to lead me through it and give me tips on how to, you know, do better than they did on it.
Sharon, who you've learned the most from so far?
I can't even tell you who. It's been make sure everybody has their own stories. And everybody has their own experiences because we have so many different people. Like, we have juniors, sophomores, and seniors, and fifth-year guys. So, you have everybody. So, it's just, I can't put my finger on one.
What's that been like? In what ways has Nick Ward pushed you to become a better player?
More so off the court in the fact that eating or dieting in a sense where he tells me, like, okay, look, you can't have this and but you can eat this but not that much of that and stuff like that. He's really helped me get my weight down, get my body fat down in that sense. On the court, he tells me to just stay confident in my abilities because he said people are going to yell at you. People might even trash talk you and stuff like that, but if you just play your game every time you step on the court, you're going to be fine. That's what he tells me.
Coming on campus with the expectations this high as a freshman, what's that been like? Can you feel the pressure to win each and every practice?
I don't feel any pressure with this team because I enjoy every moment that we have. So pressure to win games, pressure to win national championships is not really on my mind. Just each and every day working as hard as I can is what I'm focused on.
But you all embrace that, right? Having that number one preseason ranking. I mean, you guys want that expectation, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we want to be considered the best team. We want to play against the best teams. That way we can prove to ourselves that we are the best team. So we definitely embrace it. But at the same time, we don't put pressure on ourselves to be the best and, oh, man, we missed a shot. Put your head down. Because there's going to be a lot of shots in the game. We just got to stay positive and pick each other up.
What's it like being coached by Tom Izzo? I know he's intense during practice. I know you probably already have a handful of stories, right?
I got a handful of stories already, actually, yeah.
Probably more than that.
Yeah, but with him, he's a great guy off the court, very humble guy off the court. But on the court, he's a coach who only wants the best for his players. So when we make mistakes, he makes sure he gets on us because he only wants the best for us.
The patch that you guys are wearing this season, Judd. what has he told you all about how Judd has impacted his life and just his legacy here at Michigan State? What, has that conversation been one that existed at all in the offseason?
Not very much in a sense, but more of he was Coach's mentor. Coach really looked up to him. He cared about Coach a lot and took him under his wing. And so this is a guy that Coach really respects and really cares for.
Again, Jaren Jackson Jr. and the final voice you heard, Xavier Tillman, two incoming freshmen with, you talk about expectations. A lot of people expect these two to make an immediate impact for the Michigan State men's basketball team. All right, let's get to a caller right now. Line one, we've got Austin from Kalamazoo that wants to weigh in on MSU men's hoops. Austin, what's up, dude?
Hey, what's up? How are you doing? All right today?
I am fantastic. Busy as always, but hey, I can't complain. What's up?
Nothing much, man. So, I'm looking forward to this season for the men's basketball team. I look at Tum Tum Nairn. I think he'll have a senior season similar to the senior year Travis Walton had. If you remember that his senior year when they made it to the national championship, he developed a knockdown jump shot. He was better with the handle, everything like that. So that's the kind of year I expect out of Tum Tum Nairn this year.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the makeup of our team, and maybe social media has something to do with this, I've never seen the Michigan State basketball team full of so much personality. And I think that their closeness and their relationship will showcase itself on the court. And for Coach Izzo, I think personally this is a great year for him because, I mean, I don't know him personally, but I think he was kind of getting discouraged there for a little bit because he wasn't landing the top recruits that he would get initially. But with everything that's happened with the NCAA, I think it was very encouraging to Coach Izzo to know that he's a man of integrity and his program is full of integrity. And I think we're going to see a different, more jovial Tom Izzo this year, and it'll all reflect on the basketball court.
Great call. Thank you, Austin. I think that's an interesting point. I do believe that this may be the most, also not even just from a personality standpoint, because I do believe this team is filled with so much personality, maybe more so than any other team that Tom Izzo has ever had. But also, they're very spiritual as well, Isaac. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've noticed that. You know, Lou Ross, Tum Tum Nairn Jr., going back to his leadership, right? I mean, he's a young man who actually holds Bible study, a weekly Bible study, where his teammates attend, as well as many members of the Michigan State campus. A lot of them are very open when it comes to their faith and spirituality. You know, young players like Miles, like Cassius, especially Josh Langford as well. I don't know if a lot of people know the background story of Joshua Langford, but I mean, this is a kid who almost died when he was young due to bacterial meningitis, which runs in his family. But yeah, I mean, and I think now, especially, it's going to be interesting in men's basketball year, not just from a Michigan State standpoint, but from looking at the entire spectrum here because of what has happened in the offseason when it comes to the FBI investigation and the recruiting violations and the wire transfers with the money, what's happening out in Louisville, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. We don't the details of the report as far as other schools are concerned are going to come out at a later date. And Izzo did address that, and he said, look, us as media members probably know more than he does, but it's unfortunate because there are, as he put it, Isaac, there's too many people involved in these young men's lives. And I totally agree with him. He said to keep your circle small, keep your family close, and, all of the outsiders, be wary. Just be wary. One last snippet here before we hit our final break. I do want to play a snippet from Josh Langford, speaking of Josh, because I do believe that he is going to have a great sophomore year. He comes in healthy. He looks in great shape. You see that he's been working on some things when it comes to his game this past summer. Here's Josh Langford.
I feel like this year the sky's the limit for Miles.
Yeah, he was kind of using you as like a measuring stick, saying, all right, I think I can run the floor as well as Josh now, stuff like that, to measure his improvement. How have you kind of pushed him over the summer?
We push each other a lot. I think this summer has really been a great summer for me and him. We've done a lot of one-on-one, actually one-on-one with Tom as well. And so we really got to really push each other, and we still are able to push each other in practice because we're going against each other a lot. And so it's been great for us.
Josh, I'm sure you'd already been asked this, but what's the offseason been like for you? What have you worked on, and what have these last few months been like?
These last few months have been great for me. I feel like, for starters, I'm healthy. I feel good. I feel 100%. But I think something I really – two things I've really been really focusing on is my recognition skills. You know, being able to decipher a play and being able to make the right reads within the games, knowing to shoot it, knowing when to not shoot it. Because I think, to my test, I'm a tough shot maker. And so sometimes – you can kind of settle for a tough shot when you can have a – settle for a good shot when you have a great shot, you know, or settle for a good shot when you have, make a great pass. And so those are the things that I've really been focusing on. And then also with my strength, I want to come in and be stronger and be able to also become a better leader. And so, you know, those are things I've really been focusing on this year. And I feel like, you know, I've made jumps in, but I still want to keep getting better at it.
The expectations are certainly lofty. You guys are – being chose to be ranked number one in a lot of preseason polls. Is that something that's talked about a lot amongst you all, or is it just kind of business as usual?
It's business as usual, but it's talked about because, you know, at the end of the day, it is there. You know, people are saying that we're number one team. And so we know it's expectations from other people and as well as us. And I think the biggest thing for us is to make sure that we come in and just, you know, do our job every day and make sure that, you know, we leave no stones unturned. And then, you know, once we do that, we can look back and say, well, you know, we did our job, we did our part. We just have to let the shoes fall where they may.
Curious to know how the atmosphere around campus has been like. You as a student walking around, knowing that Miles is coming back for another year and the hoopla that's around that moment.
Yeah.
What's it been like just walking around this campus? Do you get a lot of students coming up saying, hey, this year's the year?
You do kind of, but the students here aren't that bad as you think. They kind of let us live, but we have our days and we have our times, you know, throughout the day where people come up to us and talk about, you know, this year and what we need to do. And so, I mean, but it's great to know that you have a school that actually supports you and, you know, want to see you do well.
Curious, with Midnight Madness or MSU Madness as they dub it now, taking place next week, what is Tom Izzo doing? Is he, do you guys have any idea? Have you threw out some suggestions?
You just have to wait and see.
I knew that was
you have right. to wait and see.
So you know already? Has he already chosen something?
You have to wait and see.
Yes, we will all have to wait and see. I will be emceeing MSU Madness for my third straight year. Looking forward to it. And I'm going to post a separate snippet that I had with Xavier Tillman. As he has an interesting suggestion for his head coach as to what Tom should do for MSU Madness. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll have Throwback Thursday for you in a brief, and I do mean brief, conversation concerning the Detroit Pistons. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. It's been an MSU men's basketball special as Media Day took place yesterday at the Breslin Center. I want to transition now, as we have just under 5 minutes left here in the hour, to a segment that we roll in each and every Thursday here on the show entitled Throwback Thursday. What exactly happened on this particular date in sports history?
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman back over his stick. Into the spot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. And there it goes. You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
All right, on this date in sports history, today is Thursday, October 12th. On this day, back in 1986, Walter Payton of the Chicago Bears became the first National Football League player to accumulate 20,000 yards. Walter Payton, one of the best to ever do it. Rest in peace. 1997, speaking of running backs, Barry Sanders of the Detroit Lions. He passed Jim Brown and moved into fourth place on the NFL's all-time rushing list with 12,513 yards. If you had, you know, a pickup squad that you're putting together on the block, Isaac, and you had Barry Sanders and Walter Payton standing in front of you, who you going with? Who you choosing?
Just for street football, I'm going with Walter Payton because he generated so much agility and pace with the way he carried the football. You never see it nowadays, but he palmed it. He didn't tuck it, and I love that for street football. Who
I'm
you
going
with?
If you're talking street football, I'm going with Barry Sanders, dude. He won't juke out anybody.
I mean, yeah, he won't juke anybody.
Oh, my goodness. He was so fun to watch. Just imagine what Barry's numbers could have been like if he didn't retire so early with the Lions. All right, 1997, Eddie Murray of the Minnesota Vikings set an NFL record when he kicked his 235th consecutive extra point. Pretty impressive stuff. In 2002, Isaac, Ron Tugnutt.
Doesn't ring a bell.
You don't know who Ron Tugnutt is? Google him.
I do not.
Of the Dallas Stars, he became the first NHL goalie to win a game for seven different teams. He was certainly a journeyman. And in 2010, the Texas Rangers won the first playoff series in franchise history when they defeated the Tampa Devil Rays. Favorite name out of that entire spiel, other than Barry Sanders, Ron Tugnutt. That's an interesting name there, Isaac. All right, the Detroit Pistons, real brief here. We only have about, 90 seconds left here on the show, Isaac. But, you know, it's a lot of conversation centered around Reggie Jackson. Because, you know, Jackson in his last outing, the Pistons have one more preseason game left. They will take on the Milwaukee Bucks, not the Tampa Bay Bucks, the Milwaukee Bucks of the NBA tomorrow to wrap up the preseason. And Reggie Jackson against the Raptors, though, he finished with 6 points, 3 of 8 shooting in 20 minutes after a 14-point outing in Monday night's victory over the Indiana Pacers. Who played better than him? Well, Ish Smith, who led the Pistons with 22 points and 8 assists. I think that Reggie is still coming back and still trying to, you know, he's still trying to find his footing after coming back and sitting out much of the year last year from that injury. And again, his conditioning has suffered. I think the Pistons should go with Ish Smith to start the year, but I think eventually Jackson will be the starter as the year rolls along. But, you know, I'm not a big Reggie Jackson guy. I think this will probably be the last season, if he lasts the entire season, with the Detroit Pistons.
It's about who would take that contract over. But with Reggie Jackson, his entire game revolves around his explosiveness, including his limited passing ability. When that explosiveness isn't there, his game isn't there.
Also, Andre Drummond can finally shoot free throws. How about that? Knock on wood with that, though. All right, we'll be back at the same time, same place tomorrow, folks. Be easy, people.